All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to Proverbs chapter number 15 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 15. We're going to start this evening by reading verse number 22. Verse number 22 tonight. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for this evening, this time we could be together. I ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us, Holy Spirit, guide us, direct us, and help us to understand the book of Proverbs, where we could apply it to our life and grow in the grace and knowledge of your truth, living according to your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 22. Before we get any further, how many are cold tonight? It seems a little chilly in here to me, but I'm not always a good, accurate person on temperature. So how many are cold? All right. How many are hot tonight? All right. How many are just right? All right, then we'll just leave the temperature just like it is. Okay. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. The Bible's teaching us that we need to seek counsel. We need to seek counsel when we go to do something. In verse 20 and 21, the Lord talks about foolishness. But a wise son maketh a glad father, verse 20, but a foolish son despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. So here we see a little series of three verses that help us understand the difference between being foolish and seeking help, wise counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. We see the same thing here, the second part of the verse, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So God is telling you and I that if we're going to be wise people, if we're going to live according to His Word and walk in His ways, then what you and I need to do is we need to seek biblical counsel. Now, that's not seeking counsel from the world, and that's not looking for counsel from other people just to get people's opinion. We need to seek counsel from a multitude of different places. We need to seek for people who are living according to the Bible. Good person would be a person who you see trying to put the book of Proverbs to work in their life and trying to live by those teachings rather than their own. The more you and I get counsel from godly people, the more accurate decisions will be made, because we have more than just one mind. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." So here is the third time we've seen in the book of Proverbs, then, with verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 6, is that God wants us to seek a multitude of counselors. So, husbands, you ought to talk to your wives. Wives, you ought to talk to your husbands. Children, you ought to talk to your parents. Parents, you ought to talk to your children. Couples, maybe you should talk to your pastor. Maybe you should talk to your pastor's wife. Maybe you should see your Sunday school teacher. You ought to find people whom you believe are people of the Bible who are trying to do the right thing and get wise counsel from them. Sometimes in my lifetime, I've gone to other people. I went to my dad and mom when I was young, when my mom and dad were alive. I remember I often had come to a conclusion of something I was going to do in my life. And I said, I'm going to do this. But before I do, I'm going to call my dad. And I'd pick up the phone and I'd call my dad, and my dad would give me completely opposite view of what I was thinking. And then I'd sit there and I'd say, now let's weigh this out. What does he know that I don't know? What does he understand that I don't understand? He's been down the road further than I've been. He understands some things that I don't understand. He sees some things I don't see. So oftentimes I would allow him to influence my decisions. Now, I wasn't in everything, but in a few things. My dad wasn't real spiritual, but he was a man who had a desire to do the right thing. And I wanted his opinion. Oftentimes I've gone to other preachers. I've gone to people who I know are pastors. People who I know walking with God. And I seek counsel. Before we make any major decisions in our life, we need to seek godly counsel. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We need to seek wisdom from those that have gone before, and godly wisdom, and not the way of the world. We need then to apply that to our lives. We need to walk in God's way. And the best way to do that is for us to seek wisdom. A president ought to seek wisdom from others before he goes to war. My life is just as important as a decision of going to war. So then before I make a decision in my life that's going to affect what happens in my life and the lives of others in my family, then I need to seek some counsel. Recently, my wife and I have made some decisions in our life. We've had the situations come up. Some things have been discovered when it comes to my health, and we've prayed. We've sought counsel. I've talked to many people. I've sought medical counsel. I've sought counsel from family. I've sought counsel from friends, from pastor friends I respect. And then I've sought more counsel from God. And we're making some decisions in our life due to those issues that have arose in my life. And the only way to make good, wise decisions, from what I'm understanding Scripture to teach and what I understand and apply to my life, is by getting counsel from godly people. All right, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. So we have an application of two in one. We have a merry-hearted person. A man hath joy by the answers of his mouth. At the very beginning, last week, we talked about a merry heart. Doeth good like a medicine. We have two applications in one. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. So we see a second thing here, our speech. We've seen our speech, and we've seen joy become very important in the life of the Christian. Here are two applications of teaching. One is proper speech. One is a merry heart. So we need to make sure that we do the right thing when it comes to the way we speak and the way we affect our heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Notice those words, in due season. See that in the verse, in due season, how good it is. The word due season mean at appropriate time. So at appropriate time, I ought to have appropriate speech that causes other people to become merry or have merry hearts. Appropriate means suitable for the particular person, condition, occasion, or place fitting. To know what to do and when to do it and how to get it done. In other words, how to behave right, how to talk right, how to walk right, how to be a way that I can encourage, lift up, strengthen those around me. All right? So I need to learn the application then of speech and of a merry heart. So then I want to make my speech in a form in which it causes other people to have a merry heart. I want a merry heart. But I want you to have a merry heart. I want my friends to have a merry heart. I don't want to be a person that when folks come around, they go, oh my goodness, here he comes again. I hate it when he comes around. All he does is discourage me. All he does is get me down. I want to be an encourager. Amen? I want to be someone that lifts other folks up. I want to be someone that folks can say, here comes Brother Marco. Here comes Pastor Marco. Here comes Doug Marco. Here comes somebody that can encourage me, help me. They always seem to have the right words at the right time. So the only way I can do that is by seeking God's will, God's word, applying Proverbs to my life in a very practical method, in a very real way, and do the right things by controlling my speech so that it's a positive speech. Amen. All right. Look at verse 27 now. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hath gifts shall live. Gifts is a very interesting word here. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. That word gifts works right with the word greed. This is a greedy situation. That word gifts comes from the Hebrew word bribes. Bribes. That means unhonest in gain or dishonest in gain. Never take a chance to get that which is right in the wrong way. Always do your best to do the right in the right way. Don't go about trying to get things in the wrong method. No one owes you a living. Nobody owes me a living. Nobody owes me anything. No one owes you anything. We live in a world today where everybody thinks they owe somebody, everybody in the world owes somebody something. And boy, I'm just not going to be satisfied till I get my dues, till I get my part. No, that's not true. We need to live in such a way that we remember that we're sinners saved by grace, that God loves you, that God loves me. I need to be honest then about how I get gain. I need to be honest in the way I obtain that which I have. So I need to make sure that I don't live in a greed and that I'm not one that wants to bribe other people to get my way. Because bribe, all this stuff comes back to bite you. Look what it says. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. You're going to create trouble for yourself and for your family and for your lives because of your desire to be greedy. So don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Look at verse number 28 now. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Again, we see another thing here on speech. God is concerned about how we speak. So oftentimes we as people respond in such a way where we just speak up without thinking about what we're saying. Sometimes the words that we use and the things that we say, because we speak off the top of our head, is hurtful. Some of the things that we say, some of the things that we do, some of how we say things, it can really hurt. Let's all turn our phones off, please, if you would. All right. Thank you very much. So that nobody has to be disrupted during the service. Thank you. I appreciate that. If you can't turn it off, let's turn it on vibrate, okay? All right, let's go ahead. Our speech then needs to be careful. We need to think through what we say before we say it. Recently, I got a phone call from somebody, and they were trying to tell me how they wanted to stand behind me and encourage me and strengthen me. But the first 20 minutes of the conversation was all negative things, and I was wondering, where were they going with this? Are they trying to tell me something I'm not aware of? And it took me a while to listen carefully. And I thought, this person hasn't thought through what they intend to tell me. And so we need to make sure that what we do very carefully. That we say things very carefully. That we are careful with what we say, how we say it, and we think things through. Sometimes I'll be in a conversation with somebody and immediately this verse will come to mind for me because I'm about to say something that I probably shouldn't say. And I say to myself, oh, wait a minute. Now listen carefully. And I stop the conversation and I actually stop and think. And I'm sure some of you have seen that. I'll just stop and think and I'll say, maybe I shouldn't say that. There are times where I have just opened my mouth and let it fly, and every time it's gotten me in trouble. Every time it's come back to hurt me or haunt me in some way. Why? Because I was not careful. So don't speak on the spur of the moment. Get your mind in gear before your mouth starts running. Be careful then what you say. You don't have to remember, so you don't have to remember tomorrow what you said today. So just simply tell the truth. Tell it clearly. Tell it honestly. And then be cautious on how you present it, so you present it well. All right? Verse number 29 and verse number 8 are connected to each other. Verse number 29 says this, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now remember verse 8, last week we looked at, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. So here in verse 8, we see it's God delights in our prayer. And He says He hears the prayer of the righteous. I don't want God to hear and answer my prayer. I need God to hear and answer my prayer. Others need God to hear and answer my prayer because I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for me. I'm praying for a need that they have. So it's important that you and I learn to be sure that that our prayers are heard, that we can pray, and God hears our prayer. He takes delight in what we're saying, because we're not praying out of a perverted or twisted heart for that which is not right. The light of the eye, the Lord is far from the wicked. So we need to make sure that when we're praying, our prayers aren't intended to be that which would cause someone else some kind of harm. Verse 8 again says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So God connects wickedness and prayerfulness together as opposites of each other. The more I pray, the less vile my life is. The more I walk with God, the more I see His power, the more I see His strength, the more I depend on Him, the more I need Him, the more I need His power and His might in my life. And I'm sure that's where you would be too, and where you are as well, when we pray. So let's be faithful prayer warriors, okay? Let's be faithful prayers. Let's pray every day. Let's pray from our heart. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father who heareth and answereth our prayers, all right? Verse 29. The Lord is far... Oh, I'm sorry, verse 30. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, but a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, in verse 13 last week, we saw a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And last week, in verse 15, we saw, and all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Then, this week, we read verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and in a word spoken in the due season, how good it is. And so we see in verse number 30 how important it is to spread cheer. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. A good report. So we need to think about that which is good. We need to keep ourselves in the atmosphere of good reports. It physically makes you healthier. It physically makes me healthier. A good report causes me to sleep better. A good report causes you to sleep better. A good report causes our bodies to function better. I don't always understand how all this is connected, but I don't need to. I'm not the Creator. The one who created us is telling you and I, this is our benefit. This is health to us. This is strength to us. And so we need to make sure that we keep our heart joyful. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, fat bones don't mean you're a heavy person. Fat bones talking about good marrow. We talked about that last week, how the marrow carries blood cells through the body and gives our body strength and develops those cells that we need to help us overcome illnesses. So the fatter the bones, the better off we are. So God wants us, four references now in this one chapter on joy or a merry heart. So we need to make sure we're applying this. God's telling us very quickly here, in four different verses, in one chapter, how important it is to have a merry heart or a heart full of joy. Alright? Verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now, remember, these are words that we've seen over and over in the book. Proverbs. They're part of our 10 words here. Let's take a look at it. He that refuses instruction. What is instruction? Let's go back and look at the definition of the word instruction. This word comes from the Hebrew word. It means chastisement and reproof or restrain or rebuke. The full definition is to make an authoritative direction to be obeyed. To reprove oneself to proper action or thought. What's the next word we see here that we've heard over and over again? getteth understanding. Understanding is to apply the view of God, to comprehend it, and to accept it. So how, then, do I go about getting these things from God? Well, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. So when we despise being chastened, taught, or directed, led into a proper teaching, we're despising our own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Reproof is correction. Reproof is instruction. So the more I listen to the instruction that God is giving to me, the more understanding I get. And remember, that word understanding means that I can take what I've learned from God and I can apply the view of God to my life and the things I do, hour by hour, minute by minute even, because this is what the book of Proverbs has been. A minute by minute explanation of how you and I can develop a proper kind of relationship with God, with others, with ourselves. We have that proper view. So, how do I get that? I get that understanding to apply the view of God, to comprehend it. So I understand it. I understand its workings. I understand how to use it. And then, not only that, I can know something. I can be aware of something, but not apply something. But God says understanding is to accept it and then to apply it. So I need to apply this view. So let me put it this way. Let's say that I'm working on an electrical light. And we just hung a new light in the building. And it's much brighter, don't you think, in that area? Yes, it is. And let's say we're hanging a light. And we need to use a wire nut to connect two wires together. A wire nut is just a little plastic piece that has metal inside that you put the wires into it and you twist it around until it stops and it connects those two wires. And many electricians take black tape then and tape around that wire nut so it doesn't come apart, and that becomes a connection to make things function. Let's say I understand that I need a wire nut and I know how to use a wire nut and I know why to use a wire nut, and I see that the wire nut needs to be put in here. I accept it as being true, but I don't put the wire nut on. I don't make the connection because I don't apply it. Just because I know it, and just because I accept it, isn't understanding yet. Understanding means to apply it. So I need to apply it. I need to comprehend it. I need to accept it. And so if I'm going to make that connection correctly, and hanging that light up, that lamp, then I need to make sure those wire nuts are tight. I need to make sure I apply those wire nuts, that I put those wires together in a safe form and fashion. So as power rushes through from the electrical lines to that light, that it doesn't short out, it doesn't cause a fire, it doesn't cause a difficulty. Oh, and the light would work! Because if I don't use anything to connect those wires, oh, but preacher, you could just twist them together by themselves. You could, but then you've got exposed wires. And exposed wires can cause an arc to form. Arc of power jumping from one to the other, causing a short and even igniting fires. So I need to put that protection there. What's that protection? It's that wire nut. I agree with many electricians I know. And then you tape it. And you tape it together so it can't come apart. So that nothing can leak from one place to another, so you don't have a loose connection. So that the light would work properly. And that you don't burn your building down. Amen? So it's important then that we learn to apply what we know. Not just to comprehend it. Not just to accept it. But to apply it. And that's what understanding is. Now, how do I get this understanding? He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof, I need to hear then. I need to be careful to make sure I hear correctly. That's what God is teaching you and I. He wants us to make sure we're hearing things correctly. Listen, every man knows something I don't know. So everybody's my teacher. Everyone has something to offer. There's not anyone in this building that doesn't know something that somebody else does not know, or something that I don't know. And so if I listen, then I can learn from others. but I got to listen. I've got to be willing to have a teachable spirit to be corrected when I'm wrong. Oh, I'm going to go put in that light. Well, wonderful. But I'm not going to connect these wires. Well, then it's not going to work. So when it doesn't work, whose fault is it? It's mine, because I did not listen. So it's important that we listen, ladies and gentlemen, to the truth of the Word of God. Listen to what other people have to say. Learn from other people. Now our last verse, verse 33 of this chapter. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Now many people think humility simply means meekness or modest in our behavior or attitude. That's not really what it means. Scripturally, it means this. Humility is to totally surrender to the Lord. Humility is total surrender to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Two words that we've been looking over and over again in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is to look at life from God's point of view, to know oneself, and know one's God, and know how to behave when it comes to our neighbor. Then we see the word here. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. What's that word instruction again? We just looked at it moments ago. It means to reprove oneself to the proper action or thought. So I need to be willing to go for correction. And my correction comes from realizing I don't have the answers. You don't have the answers. But God has the answers. He's our great creator. And He will take care of us. I need to go to Him and allow Him to guide me, to teach me. I need to learn from Him. When it comes to humility, I need to not worry about being meek or modest in my behavior when it comes towards others, but I need to realize I've got to depend on Jesus Christ in Him alone. The book of Proverbs is all about this. We've seen so many different things in this one chapter. I'm just going to look here at my notes. It says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses, 7 verses on speech, 2 verses on prayer, 3 verses on correction, 2 verses on counsel, 3 verses on a merry heart, 2 verses on total foolishness, a verse on greed, an application verse on how to apply some things we've already had, and 4 verses on correction. Reproof, instruction. Ladies and gentlemen, God is trying to teach us some things. When are we going to realize that we don't have the answers? I may be 56, almost 57 years old. I may be preaching now for 35 years. But I still don't have all the answers. I still must go to my God and allow Him to lead me. Let's pray. Father, thank You for what we've learned today. Thank You for this evening and our prayer time and our time of singing and the Bible study we've had. Please take what I've said and make it so that it's understandable to Your people. Help us to apply Your truth, not my teaching, but Your truth. Help us to walk in